Everything is united. Good and evil, day and night, the sacred and the profane, life and death, everything is united. We forget everything is united. We think things are apart and separate. We talked about this last week, right? About emptiness means the emptiness of a separate self. But we make these distinctions, these categories: sacred, profane, man, woman, death, life, normal, weird, evil, good. The fiesta reminds us, no, everything is united. It's a revolution of the order of control. So we come to this turning of the year, exactly halfway from the autumnal equinox to the winter solstice, this point in time, and there is, as the saying goes, something in the air. Some magic, some awareness, some ancient knowing. In the Celtic Isles, the ancients marked the date and called it Samhain, when the dead came to visit. It was not sad. It was a festival of harvest and memory and laughter, of candy and parties and costumes. When the Christians came, they said, it's All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day to remember the ancestors. And the Celts said, we know. Call it All Hallows' Day, when memory is hallowed. And the night before, call it Hallows' Eve, Halloween. Across the world, across the ocean, the ancient Aztecs read the same seasons, measured out the same days, and made a sacred festival of their own to celebrate the dead. To remember, not in sorrow, but in joy. To sacrifice food and drink and all the things they loved, and to remember the living, to remind the living that everything is united. All is one, life and death. And when the Christians came, they said, this is All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day to remember the ancestors. And the indigenous people said, we know. Call it Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. Bring your sugar skulls and your marigolds, your drink and your bread, your bright colors and your songs of joy. You spend the day at the Pantheon, the cemetery, tell stories, laugh, and remember, we know that we will each die, though sometimes we try to forget. The ritual remembers for us. It teaches us to not be afraid, for everything is united. I love Betsy's story of the Chinese family celebrating Dia de los Muertos in the cemeteries in the Philippines. It's great. Chinese folk religions have a whole set of ancestor worship traditions of their own, including the lighting of incense and creating an altar with favorite things and more. So there they are in the Philippines, and the Spanish Christians say, we have this tradition. It's partly Christian, All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day, and it's partly Aztec, although they may have forgot to say that, but we know they should have. We remember our ancestors, and we celebrate them on this day, and the Chinese family said, we know. A lot of my colleagues in the last week or so shared this article online about Dia de los Muertos by Aya de Leon, a Latina writer. And she talked in the article about the dangers of appropriating this holiday, in the same way that most of our Halloween celebrations strip away the ancient Celtic spirituality. She decried gringo Day of the Dead parties that stripped away the culture and spirit of her people's heritage. Don't colonize my holiday, she said. So today, I want to firmly ground our observance in the spirit and heritage of the Aztec and Mexican people. And I'm particularly glad that Martha could set up our ofrenda and share with those of us, some of us who don't know this tradition as well. And I was struck by something in the beginning of the article that De Leon wrote. She said, it is completely natural that you would want to participate in celebrating the Day of the Dead. You, like all human beings, have lineage, ancestors, departed family members. You have skulls under the skin of your own faces, bones beneath your flesh. Like all mortals, you seek to understand death, to befriend it, and celebrate it in the context of celebrating life and love. Love that. There's a universal human impulse. We know in our bones that everything is united. We know it, and we know that our culture forgets. We know that the dead matter to us, and that life is precious, but we forget. Ritual remembers. And for those of us without ritual, we sometimes are tempted to grab on to someone else's ritual, like a lifeboat in a stormy sea. And that's okay for a little bit, get rescued. But it's better to find your own boat or learn to swim. Today, Unitarian Universalism, our religious faith, is a proudly multi-faith movement. We affirm that there are many paths to wisdom and understanding, many windows. So we have among us theists and non-theists. We have liberal Christians and Buddhists and occasionally practicing Jews. We have among us pagans, folks who have recovered and recreated the ancient rituals of indigenous traditions, Celtic traditions and Scandinavian traditions and American Indian traditions. We have folks who find their meaning in scientific discoveries, in poetry or music, in the work of justice, in friendship, and in the peace of wild things. We're proudly multi-faith. We are not all one thing, but the sacred is one thing. And we can learn from each other. We can open our minds and our hearts, even to what at first seems strange or odd to us. We can see the longing in our bones that unites us and connects us, rather than focus on the names and the rituals, which we might do in different ways. In this, Unitarian Universalism is trying to do something remarkable. We're trying to show respect for the cultural roots of each tradition while recognizing our interdependence and the way that religion mixes and matches and moves. Religious scholars call this syncretism, putting different religions together, and sometimes they decry it. What a mess, they say. We should each keep each one pure as if they ever were. For more than a generation, though, we've said, bring it on. We welcome the mixing and the matching. This was not always the case with our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors. We've had times when the Christian Unitarians drove out the radical deists. That was about 200 years ago. And then 100 years later, the aggressive humanists tried to drive out the remaining Christians. In some of our congregations, the skeptics have tried to keep the pagans out, and in others, the pagans have tried to push out the scientific humanists. But none of that reflects us at our best, and it isn't what we do here. At our best, we're endlessly curious. We expect integrity, but not conformity. And we don't use religion to divide, but instead look to the deeper human need below all differences. This dance between exclusion and inclusiveness goes back way before we were called Unitarians. Before the state-sanctioned churches of New England split into the Unitarian and Congregational branches, we shared a common history. We still do share a common history, one that goes back to the Puritans, the religious reformers and disciplinarians who had fled England. They wanted religious freedom, but they kicked out the Baptists, and they harassed the Universalists, and they demonized the Catholics. So religious freedom for them. It was also those same ancestors, our ancestors, who used the power of religious fear to persecute those women who caused trouble or were too independent by accusing them of witchcraft. I discovered a few weeks ago when my mom was visiting, we were looking at the family tree she had made some years ago, and she'd gone all the way back and to all this kind of thing. And so that my ninth great grandmother was Susanna Martin. That's her. It's not a very good likeness, but she is. In 1692, she was caught in a dispute about the disposition of her father's will. She was accused of witchcraft and hanged in Salem, Massachusetts. That's my ancestor, one of them anyway. She wasn't a pagan, let alone an actual witch. In fact, that's her reading her Bible in the jail cell. She was just a strong-willed woman who challenged the political structure and spoke up for herself and was killed for it. She didn't back down. Maybe that's where I get it from. And I hope that you will not hang me as a witch. That's just one of my ancestors. My mom and I looked through the family tree. There were so many little snippets of stories I wanted to know more about. The revolutionary soldiers and the immigrants from here and there. The young Kaskaskia woman, a member of the Illiniwek Confederation of American Indians, and the chief's daughter. Her name is recorded as Marie, although who knows if that was her name. She's like my 10th great-grandmother, if you go back another way. She was married off to a French fur trader against her will sometime around 1703. Not far from here, downstate Illinois. All these stories, you wonder about their lives. Speaking of her own complicated ancestors, including the enslaved African woman and her white slaveholder who raped her, the poet Alice Walker writes, "Rest, rest in peace, in me, the meaning of our lives is still unfolding. The meaning of our lives is still unfolding." It is the ancestors' breath in the voice of the waters. The dead are not under the earth. They're in the rustling leaves and in the moaning rocks, in the woman's breast and the wailing child, and with us in this crowd. They are with us in this crowd. We've laid out our ofrenda, our offering. We've welcomed the spirit of love and memory. We've overturned the order of things and remembered that everything is united. The dead are not under the earth. They are with us in this crowd. The meaning of their lives and our lives is still unfolding. We give thanks for our ancestors, the beautiful ones and the complicated ones and the troublesome ones, known and unknown. History lives in our bones. Our choices matter, for we are not just descendants. We ourselves one day will be ancestors. It will be us that are remembered. This is no cause for fear, but for rejoicing, for mercy and love, for the telling of stories and the doing of justice. Someday, in a time and a place with the usual customs, whatever they might be, someone will come to our grave, perhaps, with sugar skulls and marigolds, or they'll plant a flag, or bring a flower to the stream wherein our ashes were given to the water, or they will light a candle, or they will simply tell a story. And we will be the ones who rustle in the wind and sound in a child's cry. The meaning of our lives will still be unfolding. You, like all human beings, writes De Leon, have lineage, ancestors, departed family members. You have skulls under your skin of your own faces, bones beneath your flesh. Like all mortals, you seek to understand death, to befriend it, and to celebrate it in the context of celebrating life and love. We are woven. Woven of the strands of history, our history and the history of the world. As each religion and each culture is itself woven of many threads, pieces of culture mixed and mashed together, evolving, being reclaimed, being reborn, we too are woven, mixed and mashed, evolving, being reclaimed, being reborn. Everything is united. We seek ways to understand and celebrate death as part of life, a doorway, a step in the journey, and an invitation to make of this life, these days, meaning, beauty, and justice. For yes, though we don't know when or where, our time will come. Ritual reminds us. We forget, but ritual reminds us. It brings the ancestors alive again for the night, and it brings us together across culture and faith, across race and class and country. It brings us together, reminding us that we are all mortal, all human, all fragile, all longing for love, all beautiful, all laughing, crying, wondering, breath-breathing human beings, all connected in one beautiful, colorful, wonderful world. Let us give thanks for life, for death, for hope, for memory, for the saints and the souls gone before, for our own lives and the lives of others, for the sweets and the smells and the rituals of the season. Let us give thanks for our ancestors from whom their labors rest, and let us praise the mystery, the beauty, the joy of life and death, for it's true, though we might forget, it is true. Everything is united. I invite you to rise in body or spirit. We'll sing together. Please be seated. It's been wonderful to be together for worship this morning. If you're new with us this morning, a special welcome. So glad that you are here, and hope you checked in at the desk on your way in to find out more about all the programs and events that we do around here. Lots of things coming up in the life of the church. In particular, two things on Wednesday I want to invite you to. The Humanist Discussion Group is meeting at noon. Bring your own lunch. We're talking about our humanist ancestors and looking at the Humanist Manifestos 1, 2, and 3, and talking about where our tradition, some of our pieces of our tradition come from. That's here at the church at noon. And that evening is our one occasional wonderful Wednesday program, and I'll be talking about GLBTQ issues, especially around youth and how we can be allies and supporters, particularly targeted for those who might be teachers or educators, but it's also great if you're a parent or grandparent, a neighbor or a mentor, want to know how you can do your best to support folks in their journey of discovery and independence. So that's in the evening, dinner 5:15, program at 6. Make sure you sign up. Love to see you then. Next week, Michelle Watsonano will be talking about a usable past, reclaiming ancestors that might not be our own biological ancestors, claiming our own story, creating ourselves. So do invite somebody to come with you for that. Our offering we'll take up in a moment. This week we are supporting our partner church. Part of our ancestry is our partner church in Transylvania, in Romania, Unitarians who have been practicing our faith for hundreds of years. And we take up an offering every year to support their work. They usually use it to buy a tractor for the village or fix up the doors or do things that are helpful for all the people that live in Nadasin Pipe in Romania. So I hope you'll be generous this morning. The offering will now be given and received. Thank you. Special thank you to all our musicians this morning. What a treat to have all of you here today. I will extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. They stay with us until we are together again. And while I do that, I invite you to rise and join hands with one another for our benedictions. The words of Barbara Peskin, because of those who came before, we are. In spite of their failings, we believe. Because of and in spite of the horizons of their vision, we too dream. Let us go remembering to praise, to live in the moment, to love mightily, to bow to the mystery. We'll sing together our closing blessing, Go Your Way in Peace.